This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
All right, Randy Prangy, thank you so much. Welcome to Sports Saturday, and the champ is here again. Will Carlisle joining us in studio, and it was back on February 29th, 2020. Will Carlisle and Chance Davidson were in studio talking about Will's 132-pound wrestling state championship. And, Will, not much has happened since the last time we saw you. What have you been up to?
Well, you know, just sports.
And there was no way for anyone to know that when you were here 16 months ago that there wouldn't be a single person sitting in those seats for Sports Saturday until you are here again today. What a weird and crazy year it was. And Coy Davidson also in studio with us. As Chance is working today?
Yeah.
Chance is working, so his brother Coy is here to hold down the fort. But Will, talk to me about the wrestling season, and not in the winter, when you're used to, but wrestling into the middle part of June. Just what was that experience
it's
like?
It's definitely super weird. There's a lot of challenges that came with it, especially me having to do track at the same time. And I didn't really have enough time to prepare for the season beforehand, because it was so crazy of a year. But
everything was condensed down, and you won the 132-pound championship in 2020. You win the 152-pound state championship on Thursday up at the Bank of Springfield Center there. And talk about the jump up in weight class this year.
You know, that was rough because I'm carrying around a lot more weight, so I'd get tired throughout the day and stuff because of it. But, I had to adjust. It was actually really hard to adjust because my cardio was so bad. But we made it work.
Take me through the thought process there to decide, because obviously you bypassed a weight class to go to 152. So the thought
two weight classes.
Exactly. Yeah, 138 and 145. So talk about that process and how you settled on 152.
Well, I came in the season, I weighed over 170 at the beginning, and then cut down to 60, and then down to 52. And once you get down there once, it's a breeze. You just stay down there.
And another thing with that is, for the first time in your life, you actually had extra weight that you could shave off a little bit. You know, last season, what you had, we really couldn't go any farther down than that.
Yeah, last season, so in a normal season, I'd come out of cross country season right into wrestling. So my lungs, my cardio is already there. This year, I tried to play basketball, which that didn't really help that much as much as I thought it would, but. So, yeah, it was way different.
And you mentioned that just the cardio and just trying to get anything you could to get in shape on that condensed season. But as you got into the wrestling, I know you said the start of the year was rough.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty bad. I was throwing up after every match.
Practice, even.
Yeah. Even in practice, I'd throw up.
You know, we heard so much about, you know, the COVID-19, you know, like the old freshman 15, when you go to college, you gain 15. You know, everyone was gaining weight during that shutdown for the last year. As a wrestler, did you like you said, you were at 170. Did that just happen naturally, or did you find yourself like, well, man, I have put on some pounds here during this lockdown?
So during the break and everything, me and my friends thought it'd be perfect time to, like, bulk up with muscle mass. Uh-huh. So we thought we were bodybuilders, and it kind of got out of hand. So it wasn't all fat, but
no, you looked huge too, though. You did look like a bodybuilder there.
Yeah,
when
you're
hitting the 170 region,
not where you want to be as like an athlete, but that's I don't think it was smart, but
Coy, did you see it? Like, you saw a picture of him, I'm sure, at that stage. Did you think, wait a minute, what has Will done? What happened to Will?
Well, he came over one time to help me put up a fence at my house, and it looked like Will ate Will. You know? Put him in a protein shake and drink him up is what it looked like, yeah. And honestly, in that moment, I thought we might have a problem on our hands in terms of his cardio. And really, it wasn't his lungs the problem so much as just learning how to carry the extra weight and his gigantic muscles freezing up on them, getting too tight, you know. So one thing that we had to kind of learn throughout the season is how to take care of our body in between matches, you know, making sure he eats right in between, making sure he gets plenty of water and rest in between. And luckily by the end of the season we got it down.
Yeah.
From a coaching perspective, talk about the challenges that this season presented from, quite frankly, not knowing if you're ever going to have a season, and then to all the different types of health and safety things you had to build into your season.
It was incredibly frustrating, just the question mark week after week after week. We kind of went through something similar at work, too, where, you know, every day there was a change in the rules. You know, okay, this week we're going to have a state tournament. Next week, okay, well, maybe we won't have a state tournament. Maybe we won't have a season. Okay, maybe we will have a season. We will have a season, but you have to wear a mask. We will have a season, you have to wear a mask, but not at practice. It's just, it was insane the entire season. We never knew if we were doing anything right, you know. But once they finally decided, okay, we will have a state series, thanks to IWCOA, we will have a state series, then it finally became real, and we were able to just kind of fall into that flow that we like.
Will, did the state meet feel like a state meet this year compared to what you'd experienced before?
I've been asked that a lot. The competition, yes. It wasn't – the scenery wasn't as cool as
– I mean, the Assembly Hall is the Assembly Hall.
It's hard to beat the Assembly Hall.
Yeah, you can't beat the Assembly Hall. But as of competition, yes, it was just as good because it's the only state tournament in the whole state.
So when you saw the draw, you were at the top of the bracket. Just take me through your mindset when you saw the draw. You focus on your round of 16 match, but I'm sure Coy, you and Chance you're taking it out a little bit thinking, okay, I like this draw. That guy could be scary. Take me through the process once you saw the bracket, both of you.
I didn't worry about anybody I was wrestling. Honestly, the only thing I worry about is my cardio and the break I'm going to get in between matches. If I can be smart when I'm off the mat, that translates how I perform onto the mat.
Well, that's what makes him great, though, isn't it? Like, I don't care who I'm wrestling.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter what they do. When I do what I do, I'm going
to
win.
And what's funny about Will is he's the easiest person to read in terms of whether or not he's feeling good and confident before his match. And there was absolutely no problem this state tournament. Chance and I kind of pride myself on letting our wrestlers worry about themselves while we worry about who they're wrestling next. If we think that we need a game plan, we will develop it, then we'll go to them and talk about it. But honestly, for the most part, we didn't really feel the need to do that with Will this year. You know, Carter, who deserves a huge shout-out, who had an absolutely great season, great state tournament, we were definitely looking ahead, looking at particular matchups, how we were going to wrestle each individual. With Will, though, this year, it was kind of just go let the dog eat, and if he needs us, we'll be on the sideline.
Let the big dog eat. So you get to the championship match, Will. It's Connor Houston, I guess is how you pronounce it, from Coal City.
Yeah.
You win 3-0 with the decision. Just take me through kind of your feelings there leading into that match, knowing I got a chance to win two state championships.
Yeah, it was at the beginning of the match, once it started, it was a little bit too fast a pace for what I can handle, but that was just him. It was normal. And then it kind of died down. I took him down once, and then...
You took him down in the first, yeah.
Yeah, and then got an escape in the second.
So he was... Did he come out kind of super jacked up because he was in the state meet, whereas you were like, all right, I'm in the state championship meet, but I'm going to wrestle my game.
Yeah, we wrestled smart. We wrestled really smart.
Very smart match. And Houston did too, honestly. You know, he's definitely no slouch. He's a three-time state qualifier. And I will never take anyone from Coal City lightly either.
Yeah, they got a good program.
Absolutely.
And I had asked you before we went on the air, Will, if you beat anybody this year in the state tournament that you beat your last time, and you said no. But what you did say was several of the people that you beat the last time around won state championships this year. The one person to beat you this year won a state championship at 160 in 2A. So Coy first and then Will, but just talk about that in terms of the level of competition that he was taking down.
Absolutely. I mean, last year his bracket was as tough as any of them in the state tournament, and I think that really shows this year when the kids that he was beating, you know, are winning their own weight classes this year. Ethan Doty came back to win state. Lashoy from Oakwood Fithian won state at 160. And like I said, Dayton Hall from Mount Carmel, I really think that he would have won it had he not suffered from an injury, too. So that would have made three guys that he beat last year, winning state this year, along with the kid from Civic Memorial that pinned Will early in the season. Then Will came back and beat him later in the season, winning in two-way. So that was very, very cool. And it really shows what kind of wrestler Will is. You know, he's not winning because he's in an easy weight class. He's winning because he deserves to be in any weight class, you know, beating those guys.
And we'll talk about the satisfaction you get from knowing, to what Coy's point right there, you beat the best of the best. And that has to mean a little bit more.
Yeah, it's weird to think about. I don't really think about that stuff until, you know, we're talking about it. But, yeah, it's satisfying.
It's satisfying, he says. It's satisfying. But I always love talking to the elite athletes, Coy, because that's the mentality that most of them have. You know, they don't have the mentality of a fan,
right,
or someone in the media. You know, they're laser focused. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, like, Will's probably thinking, like, okay, yeah, but when I lost the one match I lost, I should have done this differently. Like, you always think about the loss or the shortcoming more, don't you, Will? Then you've had so many successes, but you do focus on, like, the one or two shortcomings that you've probably had.
Yeah, there's nothing I can really do about that now, but it sucks.
But you know what you got? You got yourself two state championships.
Yeah. Not bad.
That's not bad. That's what they call a good day's work. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We got more to discuss with your two-time wrestling state champion, Will Carlisle of Litchfield, and his coach, Coy Davidson, when Sports Saturday continues.
Sports Saturday continues. Once again, we join Tim Mize.
All right, Randy, thank you very much. And we're joined in studio by Will Carlisle of Litchfield, your two-time wrestling state champion, and his coach, Coy Davidson. And Coy, we know about the rich wrestling tradition that Litchfield has. I mean, there is just a long line of great wrestlers. Will is right at the top of that list with those two state championships. But you guys were well represented at state as a whole. Talk to me about the other kids for Litchfield that were wrestling at state.
Oh, man, it was so exciting to have four kids. Here's the thing is, Chance and I's first year coaching, we had one state qualifier. It was Will Carlisle. He took fourth place. Last year, we had two state qualifiers. It was Will and Jefferson Thomas. This year, we had four state qualifiers. So if the trend continues, we're expecting eight state qualifiers next year.
Sounds right.
I see no reason why we shouldn't have eight state champions. So we'll just push for that.
That seems realistic
Absolutely.
To me.
Yeah. So, yeah, we had four qualifiers this year, Will, Carter, Brady, and Alex. We're happy to get Alex and Brady back. Sad to see Carter and Will heading forward with their lives. But yeah, we're hoping that this trend continues, being well represented and, finishing 12 out of 82 teams at the state tournament. You know, we can't be happier with that. Absolutely.
You know, sometimes it's easy, like when you're watching the state tournament, you think, oh man, went 0-2. Yeah, he went 0-2 at the state tournament.
Absolutely.
It's like, you're still at the state tournament. Like there's no losers. Like once you get to the state tournament, like you have had a phenomenal year just getting to the state tournament. And, you know, from the Litchfield perspective, Will wins state. So it's like, yes, state mm-hmm. champion. But for the other kids, the experience and the memories of being able to say, I was a state qualifier.
Absolutely.
What a memory to take.
Absolutely. And the two kids who did not get a medal both got a win at least mm-hmm. too and wrestled so well. So I know that they're looking forward to next season and hopefully doing even better next year. Hopefully they each get a medal next year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're going to be working hard over the next few months and pushing forward.
And, Will, I know there's wrestling coaches around the area saying, yes, Will Carlisle is a senior. I don't have to deal with them anymore. Talk to us about your plans, because obviously with the wrestling season getting displaced, you know, normally you would still be in school once your wrestling season was over and you'd have your spring and on you would go. It's almost July. So talk to me about your plans for the rest of your summer. What are you doing? Where are you going to be?
Oh, dude, it's weird that I have free time on my hands from going from track and wrestling every day to, oh, now what am I going to do? But no, I'm going to take a couple road trips, eat some good food. I've been waiting to do that for a while.
I bet you have. So what will be, like, what's the plate of food that you've had in your mind? Like, yes, that is what I'm tackling.
We always wait for, right after state, we go to Texas Roadhouse.
Oh, boy.
We get a steak and stuff. That's what I was waiting for. I already had it.
There you go. Can't beat that.
Yeah.
Can't beat that. And we were talking about, for you, two state tournaments here in basically a two-week span. Talk to me about the track and field, obviously elite pole vaulter. What was that experience like?
You know, I was ranked second going into the state meet, but it didn't go how I wanted it to. I still got seventh. I medaled, I think. I don't know how many medal.
Well, and again, you were at the state tournament.
Maybe eight or nine. Absolutely.
You finished seventh in state. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that was my lowest vault all year.
So that for you, though, I'm sure is frustrating.
Oh, yeah. My steps were off because the wind and whatnot, but it's all right.
I remember talking to Dan Newkirk a couple weeks ago. I think we were out at Irish Days. But you had a pole snap on you.
Yeah.
And so just talk to me about that. That seems dangerous and terrifying all wrapped up into one package.
That was one of my good poles.
That's what Dan said. Will said, I need that pole. That's my pole.
Yeah. No, it wasn't that bad. I was just, whenever you run and you're up in the air, I thought I was going to shoot me up and then it broke and I'm like, oh, just please land on the mat and like it'll all be all right. And I did. I landed on the mat. It shocked my hands a little bit. But
that had to be, understatement of the year here, an unsettling feeling, just hoping that you hit the mat because you got no control over it.
And you're upside down.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, by the way, I was upside down.
I think that's probably one of the things that's worse for the spectators, too, because you have no idea of knowing where he lands or if he's okay.
Whenever those poles break, I mean, it's loud. And They broke into four pieces. It really throws it, too. I was glad it didn't hit nobody.
Well, yeah, thank goodness. So how many, like, vaults do you think that pole had in it before it snapped? Like you said, that was your favorite pole. So, I mean, you're using that. Like, that's your go-to. Just constantly.
They've had that pole for years.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad pole. They just, I don't know. It's had quite a few vaults on it.
Is that something that happens because the pole gets old and worn or just because it bends the wrong way?
I'd imagine some of them break because of that. That one wasn't that old. But, yeah.
The straw that broke the camel's back. Everything has its stress point, and that's it. Like, why did it break then? I don't know. It was just time for it to break. But, you know, Will, just talk about that because this COVID sports season has been so strange. You mentioned about the condensed start to the season and you weren't able to get your cardio where you wanted it at the start of the wrestling season. But you mentioned you also played basketball. So you went from basketball to wrestling and track at the same time. And you mentioned it's weird now to have free time. Just how condensed and busy, like, just as a high school kid, because you still had to be a high school kid, and then you got all these sports going on. Just talk about the challenge that was for you over these last 4 months. I mean, doing all practice, game, just nonstop for 4 months, basically.
I don't know how, but somehow that never interfered. I think it was going to interfere once, and then the track meet got canceled.
Okay, that's right.
So, but, I'm just glad school's out for the most part of it. I mean, I think it was still in session at the beginning, but I'd just go back and forth from wrestling and track practice because they were at the same time. But then once school got out, track practices would be at like 9 a.m. and then wrestling sometimes at 7, sometimes in the evening, whatever their work schedule looked like, really.
And, you know, you're using obviously different muscle groupings for all those sports. So were you conscious of that? Or like, I really have to stay on top of this more than I even normally do.
Yeah, we think from gaining all that weight, I got shin splints in my left leg, and that I battled with that hard this year. So I had to baby that leg as much as I could, especially leading up to, like, state and stuff. I can't run on treadmill or nothing. I mean, we did bike sometimes, but
luckily, we're not too big of runners at wrestling practice.
No.
So. I always vowed after I got out of high school that I would never run again. I've done pretty good at it. I riding a bike.
Yeah.
I can't wait for my shin to heal so I can get back jogging and stuff.
And, you know, as a wrestler now, once you – we'll see if you wrestle moving forward in college. You're undecided about that at this point. But the habits that you develop from wrestling in high school, that can become lifelong because, you've got the diet established, the workout routine established, you know, so it's like, it's not like you're going to have a hard time, like, staying active, staying in shape. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know how to, if I gain weight, I know how to lose it.
Right.
I can know how to gain weight too now, as we all know.
Absolutely.
Now, will you, once you're done wrestling, whenever that will be,
will you bulk up and just get huge?
No, no, I don't think. I've been asked that. I'm like, no, I don't think I'll do that again.
I think people bulk up and then instantly regret it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm happy with where I'm at now.
Well, I remember just, you know, we did that wrestling match, and that was a lot of fun. Cam Lee did a phenomenal job.
Absolutely.
On the broadcast, by the way. He was top notch. But I remember looking at you and thinking, dang. Yeah. Will is jacked.
They bumped me up to 170 that night, I think.
You had a big throw that night, too, and I loved hearing your reaction to it. You said something like, yeah, when I see that, I think, man, that's a big slam.
I do remember that, because that wasn't the technical term.
Right.
Cam had the technical term. I was like, that was a big slam to me. I don't know. But that has, you know, that has to be a really nice feeling when you've got control of another human being like that, and you can go any number of ways and do what you want.
Yeah, as long as you don't get tired.
Well, I know when you go through high school like you did, playing the sports that you did, having the career that you had, you didn't do it by yourself. You know, you had a lot of family that was there with you along the way. Just talk a little bit about that. How important it was to you, and just what, you know, what their support means to you.
Yeah, I have an awesome support system. Awesome. I can't thank them enough. And, I don't think I could do it without them, my family. But also my girlfriend, it's kind of a getaway for in between practices and stuff. I'll go over to her house, just forget about sports.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that so important, though, isn't it, to shut your mind off from it? Because there was pressure on you this year for the wrestling. Because, I mean, you had a target on your back the whole way through every single match that you went into. Will Carlisle circled. They're like, yeah, I've been preparing for this match.
Yeah, you're definitely the one getting chased now after last year.
Yeah, and I'm sure you sensed that, yeah, okay, they're after me now. I'm not chasing anybody. I'm at the top. They're coming for me.
Yeah. I think it's fun. Yeah. Doing the chasing, but I didn't really have a choice. Mm-hmm. The cat's kind of out of the bag this year.
Honestly, I think losing that first match kind of took, for you personally, the target off the back and kind of let you relax.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a relief. And then, that felt good. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people, I think, were like, "Oh man, he can lose." Like, yeah, guys.
Yeah.
It's like Ivan Drago in Rocky IV.
Yeah.
It's just a man.
After that match, I was like, "Oh, this is gonna be a rough season."
Because, like you said, your cardio wasn't there, so you're not feeling the best, and then you lose. So, what was your mentality then from that point forward? Was it like, "Okay, it's on now"?
Yeah, I had to do everything in my power to get my cardio where it needed to be. Then I missed a lot of wrestling practices this year, like
due to track and everything.
Yeah. I mean, it never interfered with meets, like I said, but practices, they did interfere, which that didn't help at all, missing those practices.
But, Quinn, I'm sure there was never, as a coach, you worry about a lot of different things during a season. But I don't imagine at any point, really, this year, was there a lot of worry about Will Carlisle?
I'll put it to you this way. Looking at his state brackets, him and 15 other kids, I was extremely confident that Will could have beaten every one of the 15 other kids 7 days a week. We knew, really the entire season, but particularly that day, we knew the problem, if there was a problem, would be in between matches, taking care of his body, making sure he's eating, making sure he's drinking, making sure he's resting, making sure he's getting his mind off of things, making sure he's stretching, because 4 matches against state-caliber kids in one day is draining for any athlete. But he handled it so well. I think there was, after his first match, was probably the most worried I got because he looked exhausted.
I think, honestly, my first match was the most physically draining.
It was, and I think that's the whole game plan that Green had against you was keep pushing forward. Like Chance said, Green wanted to get the refs on you, right?
Yeah,
he wanted to keep pushing forward, and that's what made it physically demanding for you, but... still, you wrestled phenomenal. After that match, you looked exhausted, but then you were able to pick yourself back up really quickly because you had a match not long after that either, and you got a good first period pin that helped out.
Yeah, that helped a lot.
Absolutely. So, yeah, taking care of himself we knew was going to be the biggest match of the day.
I took a nap before the finals.
Perfect.
Too,
perfect.
So you were relaxed. If you can take a nap in between, you're relaxed, which is where you want to be. So how long of a gap was there then, like between the semifinal and the championship for you? Obviously long enough to get a nice little nap in.
That was really the only gap of the day for you. That wasn't like a half hour, 45 minutes.
I don't know exactly how long it was. It was a couple hours, about 3 hours.
Yeah, 2.5, 3 hours maybe.
Yeah.
So if everything's equal, would you rather just go right back out and wrestle when you're still warm or have a cool down period, relax and reset? What's better, you think? Or does it not really matter? You wrestle when you're wrestling, that's just that.
I needed the cool down.
Yeah.
I needed that, yeah.
I feel the same way. I would rather have a break.
Yeah.
I kind of had a process. After the match, I would instantly go eat, go hydrate, and then kind of take my mind off things before my next match.
So, like, the way that it was set up there, though, there were quick turnarounds, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because IWCOA did not have to follow some of the IHSA rules, one of them being in any IHSA-sanctioned event, the wrestlers have to have a 45-minute wait period in between their competitions.
Okay.
For obvious reasons. IWCOA, 30 minutes, which, I mean, it definitely makes things harder because if it's 30 minutes between this match and your next match, you really only have about 15 minutes before you need to start preparing for your next match. And I don't think that we actually hit 30 minutes at any point. I think it was probably closer to 45 mm-hmm. minutes for all of them, but still, 45 minutes on the dot is not easy to do multiple matches in a row.
You know, hats off to the IWCOA, did I get that in the right order,
yes.
For stepping up and having this state tournament when the IHSA decided early on that they weren't going to do it. And, you know, as soon as I heard that they were going to have a state tournament, you were the first person that I thought of, like, oh, thank goodness, he's going to have a chance to go out in postseason play. Because there's just something like this basketball season. There was something just unsatisfactory.
Absolutely.
About, like, for Hillsboro, they go undefeated and then, boop, season's over. Like that's just it. There's no chance to move on. It's just done. I'm glad that the IWCOA stepped up like they did. And you commented that the competition, you know, felt like a state tournament. In terms of the Grand March, that obviously did not have the same feel and ambience that it normally would.
But I'm glad they had it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like we said earlier, you can't compare it to U of I. It's just not the same.
One thing as a spectator that I thought was really neat that IWCOA did is they had a spotlight on the championship mat.
Nice.
And as a spectator, that is a very, very cool scene. As a coach and as an athlete, we realized in the second period that it does pose a problem because Will could not see us at all.
Yeah, I couldn't see him. I was like, bro, I can't see you. And I walked over to this corner. Yeah,
so we're trying to tell him to take bottom in the second period, and he could not see us at all.
That's fantastic. You got to get that on a T-shirt, bro. I can't see you. Will Carlisle, thank you so much. And, you know, just one last thing, you know, with, you know, the COVID, it is what it is. It was part of the story of the year. But your class, the seniors this year, I've said it for months now, you guys are the ones that got the shortest end of this COVID stick. You know, like last year, it was terrible for the seniors and the way that the last few months of high school was disrupted. But you had your whole spring semester of your junior year uprooted, and I can't even imagine what it was like to be a high school kid, especially a senior this year, the year that's supposed to be your last just carefree, you know, year. Like, I'm a senior in high school, just going to go out and just have fun. That wasn't really possible this year in normal terms. And so I just want to, you know, just say thank you to, you know, the seniors, because your schedule these last few months was insanely just slammed together.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just couldn't, I've tried to put myself in the shoes of a 17 and 18-year-old kid. Corey, you've probably done the same thing. And I can say unequivocally, I would not have handled it as good as these kids have handled.
I couldn't agree more. Even younger kids, too.
Yes.
I mean, how comfortable these kids have been forced to become wearing masks and stuff. It's hard to see, but I mean, most of them, you know, handled it with grace.
Yeah. And like your last summer in high school, I mean, nothing, you know, you couldn't do the things that kids get to do. Just, you know, just talk about how frustrating probably doesn't even begin to describe your emotions over the last year and a half.
COVID, I can't, I can't stand it. But I mean, like talking about it.
Right.
No, I never thought I'd be wrestling at this time of year, though. I thought I'd be enjoying my summer. Not that it was a bad thing that we had wrestling. It's a great thing.
I really think it made wrestling season more enjoyable, too, though. Everyone is in such a good mood the whole year.
I walked out of the BOS Center expecting, like, I don't know what I expected, but I was like, oh, it's going to be really cold when I step out of here, just because I've been in there so many times. Right. Every time I've walked out, it's freezing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was probably one of the big, like you mentioned, like the wrestling was the wrestling. That would be different walking out of the arena in shorts opposed to a parka.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm just glad that we had a season and everything. It's one of those things that you just have to make the best of it. Nothing, you can't change it, so you might as well embrace it.
Well, you embraced it and rode it all the way to your second state championship. Will, thank you so much for coming in this morning. Congratulations on your 152-pound state championship. Best of luck in the future and whatever you decide to do, but you have made Litchfield proud.
Thanks.
All right. Will Carlisle, Cole Davidson, thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got Louie Lang sitting by. He's going to join us, and we're going to talk about the officiating problem that Illinois is staring right in the face when Sports Saturday continues. All right, Randy, thank you very much. Welcome back to WSMI Sports Saturday. And Louie Lang is with us now, our good buddy. And we're going to talk about the officiating problem here that we have in terms of we just don't have enough officials. And Louie, right before we were coming on the air, you asked me, I'm helping my helping out my nephew's 12U baseball team with the Staunton Storm. And, you know, a lot of fun, great group of kids. They do the traveling tournaments, right?
Right.
So they've been over in Missouri. We were just in Iowa last week. But when I go to these other states, I'm seeing younger people officiating these summer league ball games. But when we're here in Illinois playing, I'm not seeing the same number of younger people. In fact, I'm seeing people, you know, older guys that I see doing high school events, you know, throughout the high school season doing some of these summer league games. And this has been a drum that has been beaten here on Sports Saturday. Terry beat this drum loudly for years before people were even really thinking about it. But the bill has come due. I mean, the bill is due. We don't have the officials that we need to conduct all the sports in the timely fashion that we want, do we?
No, we do not. And you were talking to Will concerning, you know, the condensed schedule for athletes. It was also tough on us as officials.
Oh,
also.
Goodness.
You know, going from basketball right into football and then baseball and softball. In a one-week span, I was doing junior high girls basketball. I was doing college softball, high school baseball, high school softball, and high school football all in 1 week. So actually, you know, there was five different sports that I was officiating in that one-week span. And, you know, it kept me busy, but, you know, and I do it for two reasons, for the love of the game and for the kids. You know how rich us as officials get. But, you know, you definitely enjoy it. Most of the time, you enjoy it. And, you know, in that basketball season, in that six-week span, I did 69 basketball games in a six-week span. So I was doing four games usually on Saturday, two games, you know, Monday through Friday. And it definitely kept me busy. And at the end of the season, I sat back and took a sigh of relief and thought, thank God the basketball season's over. But then, you know what? Baseball and softball started. So we definitely need officials. There are some younger ones out there that I have got involved. I'll give a shout-out to Matt Spinner. He came on board, helped me out quite a bit this year. I took him under my wings, gave him a lot of games this year, and he's looking forward to next year. But we need more officials. It's that simple. And I'd be more than happy to help any official out any way I possibly could.
And you've been great with that for as long as I've been at WSMI. You've always been a go-to guy. When an AD has an official cancel out on him, I know you're the first guy that probably 15 ADs around here are calling.
You're probably correct, yes. And one thing that always comes to mind is that Litchfield football game against Staunton, probably 10 years ago by now. Who knows? It's been several years. But, you know, that's one game that I'll never forget. And, you know, that scenario, the crew had canceled out on Ed round count. They double booked accidentally some way, and I got a call at 20 to 7. Just had my terrible hamstring, if you recall.
I do.
And at 10 minutes after 8, we were on the football field playing. So.
And you were officiating.
I was officiating.
On one leg.
Yes, I was. Yes.
But, you know, Louie, that kind of underscores the very problem that we're talking about is that you had to go out there on one leg and officiate this game because there was nobody else. There it wasn't going to happen. And, you know, we see officials, especially in football, get double booked because it's insane to me how far out ADs have to book football officials. No other sport is right. like it. But, I mean, ADs will have officials booked out to 2027. How far out are you?
That's exactly where I'm at, 2027.
I can't wrap my mind around the necessity to get booked that far in advance.
And I'll be in my 70s by then, so hopefully I'll still be breathing.
Well, you better still be officiating, too. I'm going to tell you that right now. But, Louis, let's go back to when you got into officiating. Take me back to that. What was the year?
I was in college, down at John A. Logan College in Carterville.
And what were the reasons you got into officiating? What got you drawn in?
I was recruited as a manager to John A. Logan. I was a manager at Marion High School, four different sports. I did basketball, baseball, football, and track and field. And I got recruited as a manager to John A. Logan. And one day, the coach, John Sala, just threw me the whistle and says, "You're going to referee." I said, "What?" He said, "I want to sit back and watch. You're going to referee." Not bragging, but after the scrimmage was over, some guys come up and said, "Man, you did a great job." And that's basically the way I got involved. Was in my college, my sophomore year at John A. Logan College.
That's something. And it's just that easy, isn't it?
It is.
And, I mean, it doesn't take much. You just have to. I know there's a lot of people out there who want to do it, who would like to do it, but maybe their schedule doesn't allow them to do it. And there's people out there who maybe want to do it, but think, man, I have seen what happens to these officials at these games with the fans. I don't want to do it. I'd like to do it, but I don't want to do it. Which, in your experience of those two, what is the more common reason you think people don't get into it? It's like, I just don't have the time, or I'm just flat not putting up with the nonsense.
I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest with you. The more of it is they don't want to be yelled at.
Yeah.
I had some younger officials that were coming on great, doing four different sports. I thought they were doing fantastic, and they just called me up and said, "Hey, I don't like being yelled at. I'm quitting." And, people don't realize they can't play the game without us.
Nope.
It's that simple.
I don't know how many times, and it's always a baseball and softball situation just because of the time of day. Because you got other jobs now. You got jobs that actually keep the lights on for you. So when the game starts at 4:30, infield's been taken. Teams are ready to go. Like, why aren't we starting? Oh, the umpires aren't here yet.
Right, exactly.
And, you don't think about it until everyone's ready to play. And you can't start the game because the umps aren't there.
Well, I think that's one reason most of the schools in this area moved games to 4:30 because they used to be 4 o'clock starts. And, people did have difficulty in getting off work. And, even though I have retired from the Graham Correctional Center, I'm still not retired. I'm busier now than I've been in my lifetime. But it's a good busy, with officiating and church work and my funeral home work. And the best job I've had now is babysitting my grandchildren. So, it's great.
You need like 28 hours in your day, Louis.
At least 28.
When do you sleep?
At least 28 hours.
Do you sleep ever?
I definitely do.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
What, like 30 minutes? Like take a power nap between like 3 and 3:30 a.m.?
Those power naps are great, though, Tim.
They'll keep you going. They really
they
will. We need to get to a break here. We'll come back with more with our buddy Louis Lang after this.
And back we go to WSMI's Sports Saturday Show. And once again, we join Tim Mize.
All right, Randy Prangy, thank you so much. Hey, a note here. The Lincolnwood and Morrisonville AD meeting for parents and athletes for the upcoming school year, the 21-22 school year, will be July 6th at 6 o'clock in the Lincolnwood Auditorium. It is a mandatory meeting for athletes and players 6th through 12th grade. If you cannot attend, get a hold of Lincolnwood AD Josh Stone or Morrisonville AD Paul Stutz. Again, that'll be July 6th in the Lincolnwood Auditorium for all Lincolnwood athletes and players 6th through 12th grade. Got Louis Lang with us here in studio. And thanks to Will Carlisle and Coy Davidson for stopping by earlier this morning as well as a two-time wrestling state champion. And Louis, winning state at all is a monstrous deal. To do it twice is just outstanding.
Exactly. And, that's just like athletes, us as umpires and referees. I mean, we have a goal. We want to get to state tournament.
Right.
And, I have met that, and I thank God that I was able to. You got to have a goal in life, and, hey, I've made it, and that's something nobody can take away from you.
Yes. And congratulations to Will Carlisle on his state championship. And, Louis, of course, you've been you've been officiating. Well, as long as I've ever known you, you've been an official. And, you know, talking about, you know, the Lincoln Warden Morrisonville meeting for the upcoming year. With this, I mean, it's almost July. You know, the Wrestling State Tournament just got over on Thursday. Baseball wrapped up last week, whatever it was. We're going to have high school football and volleyball and soccer and all that coming up here in about 2 months.
August 27th is high school football, JFL, August 7th. So that's...
So basically 2 months from today.
Going to be here before you know it.
How about that?
And, you know, you were talking about the need of officials. I was talking to Aaron Duff at Hillsboro, and we were talking about scheduling. And there was a little problem on the scheduling, and he could not find a football crew for week two of this coming football season, which is September 3rd. So I bet you I made at least 75 to 100 contacts via email, text, messages, phone calls, whatever. Couldn't find a crew. So just to give you, you know, I know that you know how important it is to have officials and the need for officials, but Hillsboro is going to have to play on a Saturday afternoon, September 4th, at 2 o'clock against Pena because there's no officials on that Friday night, September 3rd.
And that is going to, I think, become a more just common occurrence here moving forward where the Friday night lights is going to be Saturday afternoon, maybe even Thursday. I know Missouri, they've been playing high school games on Thursdays for that very reason, because they don't have enough officials. Even if it's Friday, Saturday, they need a third day.
Right, exactly. And there's definitely a need. And, you know, I'd be more than happy to help anybody out in any way possible.
Louis, as we sit here and talk about, you know, we just don't have enough officials. Obviously, we need people to do it. And I, you know, I've always thought that if you're going to be coaching at some sort of lower level, you should have the experience of being an umpire or an official on some level. Like, I remember when I was, you know, 13, 14, 15 years old, summertime, I was an ump at the Bunker Hill Quarry League. That's just what I did. And boy, did it give me an appreciation for how hard it is. And, you know, there's been a couple times recently where, for whatever reason, have to step behind the plate and call balls and strikes. It's hard. And, like, I hadn't done it for, you know, 15, 20 years. I'd forgotten how hard it actually was to be back there and calling the balls and strikes. And it's just, I think it's really the crux of the issue, as you said. People don't want to get yelled at. And people go, oh, officials are too sensitive. No. Officials don't mind getting hooted at and hollered at a little bit. But in my experience, the people who are the loudest and most vocal at the games are wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, the things that they are screaming with such passion are wrong.
Don't have a clue.
Like, don't have a clue. Like the over and back rule, you're wrong.
Right.
Or just flat over the back, you're wrong. It's like, it's amazing to me how the loudest can be so wrong. But that's the problem. Because as an official, you know you're right. But, you know, then everyone's riled up at you for making the right call. Why do you want to mess with it?
Right.
Like, why do you mess with it, Louis? After all these years, why are you still doing it?
The love of the game is for the kids. It's that simple.
There you go. And it is that simple. And that's what it comes down to, is the love of, you know, the love of the game. But most importantly, it's about the kids. You know, that was always Terry's main mantra. It's about the kids. It's not about anything else. You know, it's not about mom and dad enjoying watching their kid play or maybe living vicariously through their son or daughter. No, it's about the experience of that kid, the Will Carlisles, who have this lifelong experience now of competing at such a high level. And that doesn't happen if there's no officials. And wrestling is in the same boat. I mean, they don't have enough people. And it's not some sort of in-depth issue, right? Like, there's not a lot of different tentacles to this thing. It's like, well, you know, all these different things need to happen. Enough people just need to do it. Like, it's not really more complicated than that. There just needs to be people under the age of 40, you know, in that 25 to 40 range, that just commit to themselves, I'm going to do this.
Get out of your comfort zone. And if you try it and you don't like it, you can always quit, but if you start, you probably fall in love with it just like I did. And you were talking about when you were a kid, you know, umpiring 12, 13 year old kid. You know, that's one thing that's how I started my baseball. My father was in charge of the Marion Youth Baseball League, and one night an umpire didn't show up, and guess who Dad got to go out on the field?
There you go.
And, you know, I've stuck with it for, you know, this is my 44th year of officiating.
Well, and, you know, I've always tried to keep in mind as a, you know, coaching, remembering what it was like to be the kid umpire. Right. Cause I mean, plenty of times where I'm a 13-year-old kid out there, and I've got a grown man just yelling at me. And I remember at the time thinking, dude, what is your problem? What's wrong with you? It's like, I'm a 13-year-old kid. You're a grown man. What's your excuse?
Right.
And, you know, and you see it across, like, when you go to these youth tournaments, you see it. You know, you see people out of control and just, you know, berating unnecessarily. And I just have the same thought every time. Why? Why?
And
like, it has to be about the kids. Like,
right.
If the kids are having fun, especially at that age, that's what matters.
And 99% of the time, they don't have a clue what they're talking about anyway.
No. No, that's just
that
a fact. It's just that simple. And then we wonder why you have to play a high school football game on a Saturday. I know there were some soccer games this year that were flat canceled because they didn't have the officials. And, you know, and if you go to a volleyball game, some of the volleyball officials are, I don't want to be mean, Louie. They are of advanced age.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, even more so than the other sports.
Right.
Like, it's just a major problem, and I don't know what to say other than the fact we need people 25 to 40 getting into it. If you're 25 to 40 listening, do it. Make it happen. Like, it will be rewarding. Not every night.
No.
You know, I don't know, Louis, how many nights a week if you do 7 games, how many nights a week do you drive home and think, well, that wasn't very much fun?
I could be home with my grandkids, and here I am driving home from a 2-hour drive home on a Friday night, you know, and those people were so ignorant, they don't have a clue. And, you know, if some of these younger people, you know, give it a shot, come out and watch us, you know, and I would, and any official try to give you some pointers on what needs to be done, you know, just come out and watch us, and, you know, you may fall in love with it that way. You don't have to get your feet wet immediately. Just come out and observe, and, you know, I think that would help immensely in getting some other officials involved.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thankful to every official that we have.
Thank you.
Some are great. Some are bad. You know, I'm not going to sit here and be dishonest. Like, yeah, there are some officials that you see, they're just bad. Mm-hmm. They're not good. But you know what? They showed up, and they're willing to do it. And for that, I thank them.
I'm not going to ask you what category you put me in.
Hey!
You plead the fifth on that.
I plead the fifth.
I understand.
That's exactly right. But, you know, Louis, you know this. You take heat.
I do.
You know, you take heat. But I'm telling you right now, you are one of those guys, whenever you're done, there's going to be such a big hole. It's like, well, why didn't that get done? Oh, Louie did it. Why didn't that get, Louie did that. Like, you do so much. And, you know, you are doing your part to try to get these young people. And I know you're always so generous with your time. And how many young officials do you have under your wing right now?
I've got 3.
You got 3 under your wing right now. And is that a situation where they contacted you? You sought them out? How did that work?
Well, basically, Matt Spinner's dad, I saw him at Casey's and Coffeen. And we were just talking, and basically that's the way Matt got involved. And, I mean, Matt has grown so much in the past 2 months as a baseball and softball umpire. And, you know, I talked to his dad the other day, and it's given him more confidence, and he feels better about it. And, you know, I mean, it does give you more confidence. You know, you got to make a bang-bang call. And you may be right. You might be wrong. 50% of the people think you're right. 50%
That's right.
Think you're wrong. But, I mean, that's just the way it is. We definitely need help. And, you know, I'll be turning another year older here in September, and call me. I'll help you out in any way I can. You can call WSMI. They'll be more than happy to hook you up with me, and I will help you out in any way possible.
And then you can go to the IHSA website, right?
Yes,
and
IHSA.org.
Get some information there.
Yes.
So, like, what is the process? We're running out of time here, but I can't imagine it takes too long to get yourself in that initial setup.
You can do it in 30 minutes. And you got to pay your dues. You got to go to a clinic once time every 3 years. You got to take a test one time a year. It's open book. You know, it's It's simple. Just get involved.
Open book. I can hear the fans saying they should have that book with them during the game. That should be open book.
Well, some of the fans might need it also.
Oh, there's no doubt. You should just have a big copy of the rule book just like projected onto the wall like in every gymnasium. That'll fix it.
One thing before we finish, if you don't mind, I'd like to give a shout out to all the people that contacted me during Teresa's back surgery. You know, officials, coaches, administrators, athletic directors, text and emails were great. Prayers were much appreciated. Teresa's on the mend after her back surgery, and I just wanted to give a shout out that, you know, as an official, these acquaintances that you make in a lifetime.
Yep, that's right.
And I just wanted to give a shout out to them.
Well, I feel bad for Teresa, though. She can't get away from you right now.
Well, I'm with her all the time now. I'm her caretaker, but I'm not complaining.
There you go. And neither is she.
And she's on the way to recovery.
Well, good. Very good. Louie, thank you so much for coming in. I always enjoy our chat here during the summer, and it's just, we just need officials. That's just the bottom line.
And I hope that whenever I walk out of here, my cell phone's ringing off the wall, and I'll return every call that I possibly can.
There you go. Louie Lang, thank you so much.